This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news.
Government is bad and government is evil.
99.1
and 92.3
FM Talk, KKFT.
News, talk, truth.
Okay, 13 Republicans and 12 Democrats. I'm not sure about 12. I know three dropped out. All want to represent Northern Nevada in the U.S. House, replacing Mark Amadei. George Forbush, Republican candidate for Congressional District 2 seat that Mark Amadei is vacating. He was a deputy sheriff in Winnemucca, 7 years, came back to Washoe County, 20 years with the Sparks Police Department. George, are people that different in Winnemucca?
No, I mean, here in Reno, I mean, if you can make a comparison between people in Elko and Winnemucca, they're probably about the same. But I think people here in Northern Nevada are pretty much in alignment. Mm-hmm. That's just my feelings on the matter. If you came in from California, that's probably a little bit different of a story. But if you're born and raised here in Nevada, whether you live here in Reno, Fallon, Elko, I would say you're about the same.
I love Winnemucca. It's a great Amtrak trip to take. Spend the night at Holiday Inn, go to the Martin House, or Winnemucca Pizza. I love that place. I do. Anyway, how is the campaign going?
I think the campaign's going pretty good. A couple of weeks ago, we launched a ground campaign where I ended up getting a bunch of volunteers. So depending on the day and how busy people are, I can get as many as 5 to 40, 45 people in different parts of the state that are out campaigning for me. And that's worked out really great for me because while they're in another part of the country or state, I should say, I'm out in the rurals campaigning on my own, meeting with people and passing out cards and getting in front of people.
How's that going?
It goes good. I mean,
any memorable moments from the rurals?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I can meet Democrats, I can meet independents and some Republicans. And what's really nice is when you get to convert a Democrat over to a Republican. That's happened a couple of times.
You have a way, don't you?
Well, it's pretty simple. All you got to do is talk about the issues and tell the truth.
Yeah, you know? The more well-read they get, then they are easy to get to our side.
Yeah.
Any comments on President Trump endorsing David Flippo?
I think that was a horrible mistake on his part. I think he should have stayed out of it.
That's what Amadei says.
And I agree with Amadei on that. I think that I wish Trump had gone golfing that week or decided to go do something else. I think it's going to cause a lot of influence here that we don't need, in the sense that it gives Flippo some added ammunition to strengthen his position. And I think Dave Flippo will not represent us in the North as good as other candidates that are in this race.
Anybody who is 99% Southern Nevada rarely does represent us well in Northern Nevada.
Well, he doesn't know the issues.
No, doesn't know the people, the issues. You're right.
Yeah. He's coming up here and, you know, like land management issues. He came up here and he talked about how he's going to get hold of and work with other Congress members to create a fix for this when we already have certain laws on the books that all we need to do is enforce. And so he's starting at square one. This has been we have land management issues that have been problems for 30, 40 years, and it's been his problem for literally 3 minutes, and he thinks he's the savior and he's going to fix it. And he's starting at square one when we just need to enforce the law that might be in place. But he doesn't know the people, the towns, the geography. I mean, I don't think he knows where Shantytown is. He doesn't know any of the mountain ranges. He just is new here. I think some of these towns that he's been to on the campaign trail literally were probably the first time he visited those areas, and he had to probably use his navigation system to get there.
It kills me that he was running for District 3, and then the minute Mark Amadei said he wasn't running again, bam, he's in there for District 2. It's craven almost.
Well, and the information I've gotten is it upset a lot of people that supported him for the CD4 race. They were looking at him to go after the Democratic seat down there. So a lot of people were not happy with what he did.
Instead, he chose the safe one for CD2, the Republican district.
Yeah, and and I don't think it's that safe for him, because a lot of northern Nevadans don't like the fact that he's from Vegas. They just don't. That's one of the first things they'll ask. They'll ask me, where are you from? That's one of the very two questions. Are you Republican? Mm-hmm. Where do you live? And then they might ask, how do you feel about Donald Trump? Those are normally the top three questions I get when I get in front of people. Yes.
Huh. Okay. I thought they would bring up local issues that, you know, they are concerned about wherever they live.
They do.
It's
a
big district.
They'll bring up fuel. They'll bring up health care. They'll bring up housing, things of that nature. But I kid you not, those questions are the top three I normally get right off the bat, especially the where are you from question.
You told Channel 4 that one reason you're running is to ensure Nevada does not become like California. In what way? And I realize that may be a long list, but do your best when you say Nevada should not become like California. Like what?
Well, taxes for one. I mean, I don't think that we need to have a bunch of taxes that are going to be a negative on our businesses. I don't think that we need to regulate certain things like what they've done with refineries. Not that we have refineries here, but anything that they can possibly do to get your tax dollar is not good for citizens. So those are kind of the things that I'm talking about. I don't want more restrictive measures. Like, even if you're a sportsman, you know, they got things set up where they don't even want you shooting bullets with lead, even though there's already a lot of lead out there in the ground naturally. You know, things of that nature. Just ridiculous regulations, ridiculous rules that make absolutely no sense. That's the type of stuff I don't want.
Speaking of California and where we get our gas, and there are analysts who say this whole midterm is going to be based, the number one issue is going to be gas prices. Last time you were here, you talked about getting a new fuel pipeline from Utah. How possible is that?
Well, to my knowledge, it's very possible. We just need to work through the permitting process, and we need to work with Utah and people here in Nevada and just make it happen. This is a plan that Sinclair Petroleum wants to put forward. They've already done the work. It's their idea. I would love to sit here and tell you it was my idea, but it's not. I can't take credit for that.
But you're okay with that, right?
I am. Yeah. I mean, it makes absolute sense to me that we do this. And when I talk to people out on the campaign trail about it, not a single person has said anything negative about that. They like that idea. They want that to happen, and they realize how important it is for Nevada to get that and to get away from that California fuel.
There's been no actual believable poll that I've seen about this race, but the media, local media, seems to believe that James Settlemyer is one of the top three. You have concerns about if Settlemyer does get elected, which any leading Republican would be elected. It's such a Republican district. But if he does become the primary winner, that it's going to be red meat for the Democrats because of Settlemyer's record.
Yeah, I mean, when I'm on the campaign trail, I ask people if they know Dave Filippo or James Settlemyer. And they don't know Filippo, and they don't like the fact that he's from Vegas. And then when it comes to James, people either don't know him or they completely dislike him. And I've had several people say they don't like him for personal reasons that have nothing to do with politics. And they flat say, I will not vote for that guy. And then on top of that, we have this arrest that he was involved in. And I think the Democrats want it to be James Settlemyer or Dave Filippo. And that way they can use their PAC money to really portray either one of them poorly and convince independents that they are not worth voting for. And that is how they will win the seat.
So the media never ran with the domestic abuse arrest. And so people don't really know about it. You're saying that when people do find out about it, the Democrats could make a big deal out of it before Election Day, and that could throw the election to the Democrats. Like I said, it'd be red meat for them. But also his record, the driver's permission cards for illegals that he
Yeah, so for Republicans that think they're conservative, I said this. First of all, he sponsored the bill for open primaries. And I'm not going to attack James on anything that I don't believe is not true. You know, sure. Flippo will exaggerate things as much as he possibly can to go after Sotomayor. I believe Sotomayor owns the open primary bill that he wanted to push forward. When it comes to the driver's license issue, it's not just James. It was all the Republicans that voted for that. I don't think that was a conservative value. And I said this at a meeting in Fallon where I said it circumvented our current immigration laws. And it also points a little bit towards special treatment. You may even want to call it DEI. At the end of the day, people who come into this country should fall under the same standard that the rest of us do. And so if you can't get a driver's license because you don't have your citizenship, then you don't get a driver's license. We should not be setting up special treatment for people just so they can get a driver's license. And I heard, you know, they couched it as if it was needed so we can identify these people and make sure that they get insurance and things of that nature. Sure. Well, it could have been done. I've been doing it as a police officer where I was able to identify these people anyway.
Let me get this call in real quick. Bob calling from Sparks, comment about Northern Nevada politics. Bob, you're on with George Forbush for Congress. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, good morning. John, I was listening to your concern about making sure that whoever wins lives in Nevada. Well, I'll tell you what.
Northern Nevada.
Northern Nevada, I'm sorry. And Mark Anyday, okay, has been here forever. And he's one that he wakes up in the morning, he checks the wind, see which way it blows, and then he votes accordingly. So just because he's from Nevada, Northern Nevada, that doesn't make him special, I can tell you that. And quite frankly, Sandoval wasn't all that great either. I don't know where he was from, but probably.
We got to run, sir. Thank you for your comments. Appreciate it. George, you got a minute left, sir. How do you see yourself winning this race?
I'm just going to continue on like what I've been doing, get out in front of the people. I really think that if I get out and make myself presentable to people, get that face-to-face contact, that's huge. That means a lot to people. You know, anybody can buy a billboard and put their name and their face on there, but when you go to their door and you talk to them and you spend 15, 20 minutes with them, that's huge because then they talk to their friends, they talk to their family,
yeah.
And that's how you get support.
Where are you going today?
Today I'm going to be out in Spanish Springs. I'm going to go to an event later this evening out in Lemon Valley. And then sometime on Monday, I'm going to go buy more cards and I'm going to head back out to the rurals.
What's your website?
It is forbushforcongress.com.
Forbushforcongress.com. George, good luck, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. This is Live and Local. I'm John Potter, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 10:19.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news in Nevada. 99.1 FM Talk.
News Time, 99.1 and 92.3.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. FM News Talk, time 10:22. Just ran from the coffee machine. It's 58 degrees, our current temperature in Reno. We have two more candidates for District 2 coming up on the show. And so it is important stuff, this primary. And so I hope you stick around and give them some consideration and give them consider them for your vote, okay? I can't wait to see what the results are, right? On the 9th or maybe 10th, we find out. The L.A. mayor's race, just saw the latest poll on that. The runoff election there is Tuesday. The latest UC Berkeley L.A. Times has Mayor Bass at 26%, Nithya Raman at 25%, and Spencer Pratt at 22% among likely voters. Rahman and Pratt each surged by 8%. Bass stayed flat. This Spencer Pratt, he was a reality show guy, sort of a jerk, you know, some years ago. but then rose to prominence in the wake of those horrible fires they had out there. He's smart. He's good-hearted. He's practical. He honestly seems very impressive and has created a lot of excitement. And on his behalf and by him, there have been social media ads made, most of them using artificial intelligence, which are just absolutely brilliant. I mean, they are astounding, entertaining. They hit both parties, which that is how you do it. It's he's like light years ahead of where other people in the political messaging world are. And you see this and you think, my gosh, maybe he could possibly win. And it's exciting because for the last many years, I think a lot of people here in Nevada, to us, Los Angeles has been kind of like a dirty word. We look at it and we think, oh my gosh, look at what they've done to that city. Los Angeles, for most of its history, has been like one of America's meccas. People have gone to California generally and Los Angeles specifically, looking for, I don't know, streets paved with gold and their opportunity and such. But unfortunately, identity politics, Democrat domination there has spoiled that and taken really one of the great cities of the world and made it far, far less than it used to be. Or maybe it still could be all those things that it was. And that's what this Spencer Pratt is kind of making people think. You know, the things he wants to do are very simple and straightforward. He proposes to get rid of the bull crap that's choking the life out of Los Angeles and allow it to naturally regenerate. You may not give two hoots in hell about L.A. Do people still say two hoots in hell? Yeah, I shouldn't. I haven't heard that in ages. But I find myself getting excited about this mayor's race. Although, here's the reality. You look at the voting history of Los Angeles. Look at the way that its entire political structure is designed so he will not be elected. Los Angeles is so focused on anger, resentment, and identity politics that a straight white Republican male can never be elected mayor, certainly not in our time, not right now. And so he may well have good ideas, but elections in Los Angeles are not about ideas. They're about anger there. They're about resentment. They're about identity politics. And there aren't enough people who would see themselves as being on his team to win an election. So it's going to be fun to watch, but how it turns out is, I think it'll end up being disappointing to for a lot of us. It was interesting to see one of the peripheral candidates for mayor of that city said the city must restrict backyard grilling and that there must be on days of higher fire danger or days when the weather might allow for higher pollution, that on those days there must be a citywide ban on grilling and smoking in your or your own backyard in L.A. I tell you what, if you get to a point where you can't take a hamburger or a steak or a chicken or a piece of fish or something like that and grill it in your backyard, if you can't fire up the charcoal or the gas grill and make some hot dogs for the kids, if the government becomes so oppressive and regulatory and restrictive that you can't even do that, you can't pretend for half a moment that you live in a free country. You just forgot about, you know, I mean, we're here supposedly marking the 250th anniversary, the founding of our country, which I've noticed virtually no national commemoration of that fact, by the way. But, you know, you and I, at least, if the question comes up on Jeopardy, we'll get it right. But here we are. The 250th anniversary, and it strikes me that a nation founded completely on the concept of individual liberty, a nation where men took up arms and went to war against the most powerful country on earth, Great Britain, we took up arms against Great Britain because we believed that individual rights were more important than the power of government. And we bristled at distant masters telling us how to live our lives and imposing ridiculous and unnecessary taxes upon us. You half wonder if the folks who fought that war and supported it, if they were here today, and if they looked at our society, I wonder if they would think that maybe we were a court low when it comes to backbone and commitment to liberty, because we in this day and age are substantially more restricted and dramatically more taxed by an unresponsive government than were they. And they suffered under the tyranny of a distant parliament and a distant king. I feel our passion for liberty has cooled. We think of our rights not as conscience and speech, but like a welfare check. I want my rights means give me money. Anyway, I'll shut up now. We're going to take a break, Fox News. We're going to be back with another candidate for the all-important Congressional District 2 seat that Mark Amadei is not running for again. We have so many candidates you're going to hear, and I hope you stick around for our second candidate who is coming up after Fox News and local news with Phil Galbraith. I'm John Potter, live and local on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 10:30.
99.1, the FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada.
Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
Current temperature in Reno, it's 58 degrees. I'm John Potter. Mike Smith for Congress, retired Navy captain and fighter pilot. Mike, do you miss that?
No, you got it right. Thank you.
I bet you do. And you trained fighter pilots too, didn't you?
Yeah, we trained the Navy Air Wings that came through for, you know, planning, briefing, executing, and then debriefing major combat operations through a host of variety of different missions.
Good man. And you were Nevada's U.S. Navy Emergency Preparedness Liaison Officer, which made you want to serve our great state, and you consider yourself a strong conservative voice. Is this all correct so far, sir?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So Mike Smith is running for Congress, CD2. How is such a long service in our military, and thank you for that, how is that an important thing to have serving in Congress, Mike?
Well, first of all, when we say thank you for your service, I really appreciate the gesture. I always look at it, my wife's the one that sacrificed while I served. As far as the military background, obviously everybody's going to come at there with their own strengths and this and that. Serving in the military has challenged me through the entire career, all related to leadership as well as mission employment and execution. And I think some of the challenges we've had as a leader only make it better for continuing service to the public.
Yeah, it's perfect leadership training. Last time we spoke, we got, you know, some of your military and civilian background. What can you tell us of policies of what you're passionate about and how you would serve Nevada?
Well, on a macro scale, the passion I want to look at is when Governor Lombardo talks about our reliance on fuel from California, 88% right now. One of my opponents was going, hey, well, let's just build import the fuel from Utah, as the governor's proposing. And it's a solution. It's nothing wrong with that. But I think we should be a little bigger and bold in some of our approaches. Specifically, we should look at the concept of building a refinery or refineries here in Nevada. The value added, first of all, it's very strategic, and it's a sound approach because we're not dealing with the refined products. We're dealing with the actual refinery objectives. And we can achieve that through either what they call split refineries or small refineries, which are smaller in scale than the bigger industrial ones they see down in like Houston or whatever. So we can tailor it towards the objectives, which are fuel, diesel, gasoline, and maybe even fuel, depending on the type of oil that we want to refine. The other advantages we have is we can bring it from two points. One, we can bring it in through the maritime, from California via rail, which would kind of compel us to build a refinery on the west side of the state. Others we can rely on the importing through, again, through rail and or pipelines through either Utah and or through Canada or North Dakota, and bring it in through the Elko sector. And then where to build a refinery would be in the Elko area or Dumphy.
From Canada?
Yes.
Okay, well, why don't we? I have no idea. Why don't we have any refineries here? We are so held hostage by California with this gas price situation. Pollsters say the gas price is going to decide who wins in the entire midterms. So why don't we have refineries in Nevada?
I don't know if anybody's ever looked at it from that perspective of reliance.
I know. I've never heard any talk about it.
I think we're so well poised to take on that interest and objective because we have two alternatives. We can bring it from the west. We can bring it from the east.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously by rail.
Or the north.
Yes.
How different are you from your opponents? Or, like, how would you serve District 2 in Congress?
Differences would be, like, we're all going to rely on our backgrounds and experiences. For me, I'm always going to lean on my military experiences, like we just talked about with the leadership.
Yeah.
I also serve as a defense contractor, so I've had some challenges as the leadership. I've had some successes, and I think that taking and translating what I've done with those experiences and turning it into servicing the public, and I'll just put it to you this way. I don't want people to vote for me because I served. I want people to vote for me because of how I intend to serve them. And I'll bring those leadership credentials. And it's really hard to translate some of my experiences into how I will serve. Personally, when I both as a defense contractor, I have no authority, but I have a lot of responsibility. And or in uniform, I have authority, responsibility, and accountability, all of which challenges my leadership credentials and experiences. So when I look at serving the constituents of this district, I go back to my experiences in dealing in every capacity, and even as a defense contractor, where I never lost sight of who I was serving, and I don't want to get too detailed, but it was always focused on, as an aviator, I'm always focused on our mission in the air and on who we're servicing on the ground. And in this case, the warriors and our ground forces are always the most important thing. And I would treat the constituents the same way in the sense that I never want to lose sight of what's important to them as I never lost sight of what's important to our service members and troops on the ground.
Do you have a response about the president's endorsement yesterday for David Flippo in the race?
Well, a little bit of a shocker.
It was, honestly.
I'll just say this. You know, clearly, the advisors did not look at the field of candidates, and they have no idea of the talented people that are in this race that already support Trump. In my case, I don't think they really looked at what I bring from my service credentials and both in the military and also my service to the state as the emergency preparedness liaison officer. In that regard, you know, I've routinely, when I go on the campaign, I always advocate, hey, we're one election away from losing the momentum that we gained, we started in 2024, and that we are living history because we have a bold president who is putting issues on the table and delivering as he promised. So we're living history at the federal level. We're also living history at the state level where we have the chance to put in a what I call a qualified and effective conservative in the seat. And that's where I come from. And I just don't think that they really looked at things in a holistic perspective, both for myself and the other candidates in this race.
You say, speaking of the president, you say the president's agenda has not yet been fully enacted. Like what in particular?
Well, the Save America Act. That's one example. He's also been challenged in the Supreme Court, or we're waiting on the 14th Amendment ruling, which is another thing. And I would take that 14th Amendment ruling, and if we're in Congress, because we're already kind of getting some indications from the Supreme Court that they may not rule in the favor and of birthright citizenship. And if that's the case, then the Congress should already lead turning that and starting coming up with, hey, in the event the Supreme Court doesn't rule in our favor, then we need to have other laws, because Congress is produces the laws, and they should take that under consideration. The other thing with regard to the Save America Act, that is so reprehensible that our Senate hasn't fulfilled that obligation. It's either legislative malpractice or political theater, neither of which are acceptable. And the Congress had the chance to attach the FISA bill to the attach the Save America Act to the FISA bill, and force the Senate to once again deal with that issue. and they failed to attach it, which again is another legislative malpractice in my thought.
Well, let's talk about the district that you want to represent in Congress, ours. It's a huge district. Tell me your experience getting out there and getting to know it.
Well, before I decided to run, I went out through the district. I reached out to as many of the...
Have you been to all four corners, basically?
Yes, more than once.
Really?
And yes.
Oh, awesome.
The good news is I got my my F-350, so I'm putting some miles and smiles on the whole trip. And but I also share the same concerns when I go out there. I'm talking to a gentleman in Elko a week and a half ago. You know, he's talking about he put $100 in his truck and it still didn't fill it up.
Yeah.
All right. And so every time I stop for gas, you know, I'm sharing the same concerns and considerations that each and every constituent here in this district is. And so if we just talk about the fuel, obviously we got to get this Iran thing resolved because we're living the same circumstances we did with the whole Biden administration, but for different reasons. And I like to think that the high prices are transient till we get the Iran conflict resolved. But as far as getting out, I've been out there. I'd explored it before I even decided to get in the race, talked to a lot of great people. And it's a large district, as we all know. It's diverse economically and politically. So what happens in White Pine doesn't it translate the same thing for Elko or Lander or Eureka or Pershing or Humboldt or all the different counties. They all have their own unique interests, and some of them are common, and some are also unique.
How is this campaigning done? You drive your 350 truck into, say, Austin or Eureka, Winnemucca, whatever, and what do you just... try to find people and try to, how do you do it?
Well, there's a challenge. At first I thought maybe
Do they know you're coming? Is there any advance notice that you're going to be at this location in this town?
In some cases, I'm invited to come out. And so then they know I'm coming. In other cases, no, I'll just go out there. The other day I go, you know, I tried doing my own and it's not as efficient. Trying to host my own, it's just not as efficient because a lot of people still aren't understanding all the different candidates that are in this race and how do you break out. So I decided I'm going to go to the people. So I will go to restaurants and I'll ask first if I can introduce myself to the customers.
And what's the reaction from the restaurant? They usually let you?
Well, yes. Yeah. Surprising. That's the nice thing about this. I haven't really done so much here, but in the smaller communities, they're personable and very receptive. And that's kind of refreshing. So I've done that on a handful of times, and it's been receptive.
You've been to the Griddle in Winnemucca. You've been to the Red Cup in Elko. breakfast places. The way to go, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right. You said the Washoe County GOP leadership, which also endorsed Flippo, is disenfranchising voters. In what way, sir?
Well, you look at... first of all, every other county, and a lot of the other counties have really run their their campaign management, for lack of a better term, very objectively. They're not tipping the scales one way or the other. They're not doing endorsements, which is refreshing, because endorsements don't happen when you're fully vetted. Some of them are purchased. Some of them are done through other or negotiated arrangements. What happened here in Washoe County is. Unfortunate for the rural counties, because this central committee decided to endorse, in this case, a congressional candidate. If they kept it just in the county, that would be one thing.
Right.
But by going into the CD2 race, they've now put their finger on the scale that affects all the other counties. And where's the preponderance of voters? It's here in Washoe County. And so now you're skewing their weight of value in voting disfavorably for one candidate that they decided to favor. And it's not just me. It's all the other candidates that are disenfranchised.
I just don't get it. The Washoe County GOP endorses a Vegas guy. And you said they're making us into Clark County North.
In a sense.
Was that a little harsh, you think? Or?
Well, yeah, it was. And, you know, to be honest with you, I don't know where I said that.
You got fired
up. Yeah. A little bit of fighter pilot in me coming out. Hey, fight's on kind of thing. But no, when you look at the behavior, it's unexpected from what we would consider conservative and Republicans.
Sure. All right. Where are you going to be today or where people can meet you?
I'm heading up to the Mount Rose Women's event this afternoon, which is kind of a closed event.
Okay.
We had to pay to get in there.
Any public event that people can stop by and greet you?
Unfortunately, no public event other than that one this afternoon.
Well, if you do, you'll post it on your website. What's that?
Absolutely. Oh, it's MikeSmithForNevada.com.
Oh, that's easy, Mike. MikeSmithForNevada.com. All right, sir. We're, boy, it's moving fast, isn't it?
It is.
All right. Primary over, the 9th? Uh-huh. All right. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Mike.
Thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it.
All right, sir. I'm John Potter, live and local. Oh, by the way, you wanted to say hi to George.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Hey, yeah, last week when he came up, you said you made the comment that George likes me, and I like George. I respect him, and I respect all the other candidates that we've got in this race. We have a really good rapport. It's surprising. It's one of the benefits I never would have expected running a campaign, whether it's Fred, George, Sherman, Jesse, and even James. We're all cordial. It's really an incredible surprise, and it's a win for me.
Have fun with it, my friend.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Thank you, Mike. I'm John Potter, live and local, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 10:50.
All the information for the entire Northern Nevada area.
They are bringing more illegals every day.
On one radio station.
At this point, I just kind of assume every politician is dirty.
Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth, truth.
All right, let's see what we got here. Temperature-wise in Reno, the temperature is 59 degrees. A wonderful day to go vote. Polling places are Craig, are you there?
I am here.
Okay. Have you voted yet?
Yes, I did, and I have. It showed on my voter registration at the Secretary of State's office that it had been not counted but turned in.
Well, that's efficient. Did you mail or did you go in person?
I did the mail this time. I wanted to see how that worked out, and it was like 3 days after I mailed it, it was logged as being received.
So it was your first time with mail?
Yeah, last year I did the early voting, and this time I did the
mail. I guess I'm an antique. I have to vote in person. I have never voted by mail. Never. Anyway, we voted, I think it was, what day, Thursday, went to Save Mart out there by Kitsky and McCarran, and folks, it is different. I mean, you see all these stories about, well, you know, which kind of puzzles a lot of people, you know, the county, the officials, the candidates, especially on the Democrats, all say that there is absolutely no voting fraud. And there has been, not to a large degree, but there have been cases of voter fraud. I remember when, who was it who was running for? Anyway, he lost, and he brought out 9 people who had documentation that their votes were not counted. Now, it's never enough to really change the outcome of an election. Still the authorities tell us there's just not voter fraud. Don't worry about it. And then somebody asked me, last week, well, if there was no problem and don't worry about it, why did Washoe County add this extra layer of security? This print out the ballot. You vote, electronically there in person. It prints out the ballot. Well, then now you take the ballot over to another machine, which scans it so you can see. And if it's true that there was no fraud problem, why ratchet up the security so much? So I don't know. But I have always said that, okay, I'll accept your determination that the fraud has never been big enough to change a race. Okay. I believe that now, but that's not the issue. The issue is, what about the future? Fraudulent technology doesn't stay static. It improves. And I was always talking about that when people said, oh, you're just one of those crackpots who think there's, you know, the election was fake and all this. No, I'm talking about the future. And I think maybe Washoe County was thinking the same thing. We got to double up for the future when the scammers get a little more technical and a little bit more smart. Now, my experience of voting was kind of confusing, even though I knew the process and how it's changed. You go in there, and now, and here was the only concern I had, you know how they used to compare your signatures? You'd sign, and they would look up and make sure it's your signature. Well, now they want you to sign your signature on this. It's not even full size. It's a small iPad. Now, when I am buying donuts or I'm at a restaurant and I'm signing my signature on an iPad, it looks pretty funky. with you do it with your finger and everything, and I botched it, and I had to start over again. That was my signature, but yet the guy goes, well, I can see some real similarities here from your old signature. So I didn't, I felt a little, you know, but otherwise things went well, and I am confident that my vote went through. Anyway, be careful. Watch your vote. Make sure it's registered as Craig did. I'm John Potter, live and local each and every Saturday, 9 to noon on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Fox News is next. We have another candidate for CD2 coming up next hour. Hope you stick around.